Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay, Mary, see ya.
Good morning.
Hi, Elias.
What shall we discuss?
Well, I don't know. I think we'll start off with the dreams I had last night that you were starring in, and you can help me understand some of the impressions I was getting. In one of the dreams, if I remember correctly, we were... you were talking to me like this would be the last session we're going to have. It was like you're chastising me a little bit for not using my impressions and trusting myself more. And it's like something like, okay, well, that's going to be like a last session. Besides, you've already gone through me discussing your six life situations with you. And like... I understood the chastising piece a little bit, you know, encouraging me more likely to use my impressions and trust myself more. What I didn't understand was the comment about six life situations.
And do you incorporate an impression?
I'm not really sure if I recall what each event would be, but I'm assuming if I go back with my discussion with you from day one, there's probably six major issues that we discussed.
Yes, you are correct.
Oh. Does this mean I'm cut off from having sessions with you now?
No.
I didn't think so. Why did I portray that in my dream, though?
This is not unusual, for it is a translation of your perception of yourself and your own movement or your own progress. It is not actually how I interact with you or... my chastising or generating a judgment with you, but more so how you perceive and what you express with yourself in association with your movement and your assessment of whether you are generating movement quickly or not, or enough or not, or adequately enough or not, and your own association with whether I would be exasperated or impatient with whatever your assessment is of your movement. This is not unusual. Many individuals do this.
Hey, Elias, did you have a focus that really liked to play the game of golf?
Yes.
Because the other dream I had, you know, it was like, you, me, my recently deceased or disengaged father, and this other physicist I did not know. I were at this fancy hotel, and I remember we were all at dinner, and I had scheduled, like, a session, you know, with, like, Mary. Even though you're sitting there at the table, and I remember distinctly you made some comments. Somebody invited you. I don't know if it was my dad or someone else to go play golf. And you go, "That's, I really want to go do this. So, sorry, we're not going to have the session. We're playing golf." is funny. I have a question. I was talking to OPN the other day, and he kind of brought up, remember my probable focus, you know, probable self, I should say, received a letter from, what's his name, Graves Erskine, and the question I had actually opened was prodding me a little bit on was, what was or what is the trigger for the probable self getting a letter versus me?
That would be associated with your beliefs in what is more possible and what is less possible. And that influences what you insert into your reality. And if the action is initiated, if it is less possible for it to be completed in inserting it into your reality, it will automatically be inserted into a probable reality.
No, I thought I was pretty open to those type of movements. But you're saying my probable self was much more so.
It is not a matter of a probable self being much more so. It is a matter of all probabilities will be actualized. And therefore, if it is not inserted into one reality, it will be inserted into some other probable reality.
Mm. Well, okay.
For that is an aspect of you. Therefore, the action was completed, and what is important for you and for any individual to understand is that the probable self is another you. It is different from another focus of you, for it is directly associated with this focus of you.
And I think you are able to merge with your probable focus, or you can do so, can you not?
Yes, you can. You can even exchange places.
Why would that probable self want to exchange places with this one?
I merely expressing that it is possible.
Is there a mechanism beyond just expressing the intent that would allow for that? You know, emergence or switching?
Yes. This would be a situation of allowing yourself to defocus yourself to the point in which you could allow yourself to move into a probable reality physically. But to do that, it would be necessary somewhat to defocus yourself in association with your identity, your singularity of identity, and therefore slip into the probable reality. And once in the probable reality, you would notice your own identity returning. And you would notice that the reality would be somewhat different.
Well, if they still maintain your own identity, but you're just inserted into a different, into that other probable reality scene. So you still have the memories, right?
Yes, unless you actually merge with the other probable self. In that situation...
Okay, wait, let me back up for a second. What the other probable self of me that received this letter, what's up with him? What's his... Does he have a preference for this? Or is he just, you know, just moving along his regular route?
It is another aspect of you. Therefore, what you are interested in, the probable self is interested in also.
How do we go about sharing information outside the dream state? Or is it just automatically that undercurrent goes on without our initial awareness?
That does occur. If you wish to be objectively interactive, it would be a matter of allowing yourself to defocus your hold upon your individual identity temporarily, and therefore move into the probable reality.
Or I could let him do that and come into my probable reality, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, see who's got the wherewithal to do that first, then.
Very well.
Speaking of beliefs, the other day I manifested a blue, it's a nozzle for a garden hose. I manifested in a shopping cart when I couldn't recall what I was looking for in the store. It turns out that was the item. And it's sitting there in a shopping cart right next to my car, which is kind of cool. It kind of shocked my daughter a little bit. So I manifested that out of thin air, basically. And my beliefs are that since it's in a shopping cart, well, somebody could have left it there. And the manifestation fell within my current beliefs. And I decided to try another, to try this again a little bit more directly and manifest a $50 bill. And the only reason why I wanted to choose a $50 bill is not for the money, but because I'm an OE for Grant, who's on the $50 bill. And I figured, well, it should be pretty easy to manifest that because, you know, a $50 bill can blow into my general direction on the street or in the yard or wherever, and I could pick it up and find it. Where am I at in this process? Because I haven't manifested that $50 bill yet.
You are focusing upon the outcome. That is the difference. You were not focusing upon the outcome with the other manifestation, and you allowed it to be generated. You wanted it, you set the intention, but you were not focused upon the outcome. With this, as you are intentionally attempting to do it, you are focusing upon the outcome. And when you do that, it creates obstacles.
Okay, so is it just like, don't focus on it anymore, just, you set the intention out there, just relax and allow it to happen?
Yes.
Okay, I was kind of thinking with OPAN, and we're talking about this, that I needed to do certain things that would lend energy to the manifestation occurring.
That is correct also, for it is a matter of paying attention to the process, and therefore paying attention to other actions that you do or that you engage that incorporate a similar energy.
So, like, if I see a sign that says grant on it, that would be the fact that I'm moving through the process.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, but right now at this stand, I should just relax and then...
Or acknowledging when you are surprised.
Okay.
And recognizing that as another element of the process.
When you say noticing when I'm surprised, are you referring to that one time when I got that one manifestation? Or you're saying if I generate something like seeing a sign that says grant on it?
Any expression that would be a surprise would be a part of the process.
Notice any surprise.
Yes, for the manifestation of the $50 would be a surprise.
That it would be, yes.
Therefore, that is a factor in the process.
Okay, I got it. So right now, just relax, don't dwell on it. Just notice the surprise when they pop up.
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Opan wanted me to ask if John and James received the information and items from Timothy.
Not yet.
Staying with the Time Bridger stuff, that's near and dear to my heart. Has John and James sent back a piece of the moon yet, as we requested?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. How long, Opan seems to be worried that it may start falling apart or degrading in the, you know, the climate of Florida. How long do we have to uncover it before it may be degraded? Is there a worry about time limit on this?
No. You incorporate considerable time.
Nice, thanks. Okay. For the moon rock, what hole is it closest to, 2, 3, or 7?
Two.
Oh, nice. Now, Ken and I were, Boba and I were discussing depth. Are all these within a depth of maybe approximately, anything down to 3 feet, or is it potentially much deeper?
Between 3 and 4.
For both this as well as the other item?
Yes.
Okay, so the moon rock is between 3 and 4 feet down near hole number 2.
Yes.
Nice. Now, is it by itself, or is it sealed in some type of, you know, container or, you know, coating or something like that?
By itself.
How large is it? The size of a baseball?
No. Smaller.
So, like a golf ball?
Yes. presently smaller.
Okay. That means it's about, it could be as small as a marble size.
Yes.
That would be a bit challenging to find. Okay. Okay. Is there any more communications from John and James they want to send to us?
Not presently.
Okay. Tell them hi for me. Actually, they're already noticing this as we speak. Okay. Let's talk about ancient Egypt. Was the original purpose of the Great Pyramid or some of the other pyramids at Giza a negative ion generator? And if it was it ever used as such?
No.
Crap. Okay. Well, the Archons built it. Damn. You gonna give me any clues on this? Okay, here's my impression, Wyatt. It's something to do with the nature of light.
Yes.
Aha. Okay. So the Archons built the pyramids as more of a focal mechanism for light, the energy of light?
Yes.
Oh, I think I'm getting this now. Well, no, the reason you're chuckling is you know what's coming up next, but I think I solved half of that brain teaser you gave me the other day. You ready?
Very well.
Okay. I don't remember exactly what you said about the pyramid points of consciousness, but here is my take on them. The pyramid points each represent, so we know consciousness is not a thing, but an action. And the pyramid points all relate to different aspects of a given common action. And the analogy I was using is the analogy of a pumping station with, let's say, four people at the pumping station. Each one does a different thing, has a different aspect or function to perform, but it all relates to pumping. And that's the difference. Each pyramid point of consciousness has a different aspect to it or function to it, but it's all within a common direction of the action of the of consciousness.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a good, okay.
Yes, you are
so
correct.
Did I get it entirely, or is that just half done?
I would express that it is not the entirety of it, but that is the foundation, and you are correct.
Cool. That rock that was near the time traveler that was snapping pictures of me, you know, like a year or two ago, whatever it was, on that trail, is that there for a marker or beacon for them?
A marker point.
Are the wet spots that are on the north side something associated with it being a marker? In other words, is there some facet or function of the rock that's different and it's camouflaged, but the only thing it's given away its true nature is the five wet spots?
Yes. You are correct.
What? That there's, it's camouflaged?
Not entirely, but the formation and the spots are identifying markers.
I mean, they use that to is it like a portal?
Not entirely. It is a marker. And in that, there would be sort out some identifying distinguishments to create a marker.
Oh, it's like a mini map saying, because the spots are, there's like, I think, I don't know if it's five or whatever the exact number is, but they're in an arrangement on the north side of the rock. Why are they wet, by the way?
That generates a larger distinction. It is a natural formation, but it also creates a distinguishing formation that can easily be identified. And water is a conductor of electricity, which is an output of energy, which also is helpful in configuring energy.
So the spots don't, the arrangement of the spots don't mark out a location for them, or do they?
In a manner of speaking, yes, they do.
But the location would be right around the rock, right?
Yes, precisely.
So I could go walk around that area and find what? If I look at the, I could go look at the spots and say, okay, this relates to whatever. I could go stand in that spot and I would notice a difference in the energy flow or what?
You might. It is dependent upon the time and whether there is an active energy fluctuation or not, for it is not constant, but it is possible.
I'm going to take a picture of this, huh? Okay. So we know what other markers is. What's the mechanism for them to jump into our time?
That question has been presented previously.
Oh, is that with some of the old pan discussions?
And I will express to you as I did previously, that would be very difficult to explain, for you would not understand. You do not incorporate the same energy configurations.
Oh, thanks.
They incorporate energy differently.
Well, I know that.
They use energy differently, and they configure it differently, which does not quite translate yet in your time.
Now, does my equation for the conversion of energy across time boundaries, that's still reflective of what they're doing?
In the manner that I expressed previously, yes.
Okay. Pondering. By the way, at one time, several months back, that OPAN sent me that Timebridger medallion that you said was intercepted by a person from the future. How did this person from the future know that this medallion was being sent to me, and what was his reason or purpose for taking it or intercepting it?
Curiosity.
Is he going to return it?
That remains to be seen.
Oh.
That would be his choice.
Does he read the Elias sessions?
He is aware, yes.
Well. But he knows me, or does he just knew that there was this medallion being shipped around?
He was aware of a game and was not necessarily interested in the individuals playing the game, but interested in the object and practicing with that type of interception.
Well, he did a good job, that's for sure. And so he doesn't really want to make any objective contact.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay. If you wanted to compare scientific notes sometime on how he did this, I would be more than willing to lend an ear or two. Okay. A while back, since we're talking about electromagnetic energy, I had a dream that I felt was provides significant insight on my understanding of electromagnetic energy being its structure. Okay. Now, electromagnetic energy is in everything. Even gravity is electromagnetic energy, right?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in that dream, there was something along the lines of, I was viewing this electromagnetic energy in categories of different percentages, okay, and I'll relate it to this. We know that magnetic energy is input, electric energy is output, okay, and then there was one category of percentages that had like 0% magnetic energy and 100% electrical energy, or vice versa. That was one category. There's another category that had all the other percentages that were, you know, different from that, like, you know, 40, 60, 30, 70, 50, 50, whatever. And I didn't understand why it was so important to look at these two different styles of categories.
The importance is that there are fluctuations and that in association with science, there's a tendency to view absolutes or to want to view absolutes.
Oh, so the 0-100 type thing was how science would look at something, but in reality, it's all objects and all forces in our reality are some mixture of magnetic and electrical energy.
Correct.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Then, the other part of the dream was I was seeing a beam of light that was going through a crystal, something like out of Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, but it was going through this crystal of some type, or prism, and it was then being stretched out in slow motion. You could see the structure of light showing its magnetic and electric waves associated with that. Is there anything else in that dream that was trying to be was a message beyond just seeing the structure of light at that point?
This also is associated with another dimension.
How so?
There is another physical dimension that is dominated, in a manner of speaking, by what you would translate as crystals.
Oh, right. I'm familiar about that.
And interaction that they generate with each other, which involves light.
Okay.
As a manner of communication.
In the crystal dimension.
Yes.
Okay. Elias, on my lecture I gave a couple weeks ago, as well as the one that's coming up next week, which one serves me best to getting to my goals of doing teaching and research more full time?
What did you engage in your previous lecture?
Well, some fun science topics, but it wasn't as interactive as the one that I'm scheduled for this week, this upcoming week.
I would express the more interactive you are, the more you move yourself in the direction of the successfully executing what you want.
Good. That was kind of my impression. Let's see here. Why does my daughter have such fears associated with seeing someone throw up?
This, in actuality, is associated with a bleed through. Now, that bleed through did create an emphasis in connection within one of her own experiences, and in that she is generating an underlying association with another focus that died of consumption.
Okay, what technique or what type of things could I do to help her manage this fear? Would it be discussing this bleed-through connection of hers, or?
You can.
Some other way to help her best manage, because she tends to get somewhat paralyzed with a fear. It doesn't even have to happen. It doesn't even have to happen. Sometimes she could just be thinking that it could happen in a given situation and she wouldn't be able to, you know, escape as if she's taking a long bus ride with classmates. That would be real scary for her.
I'm understanding. I would express to you that you can offer the information in relation to this other focus. You can also be supportive and reassuring that this is not occurring now, and that this action does not necessarily promote or lead to death, that it did within that focus, but that the action itself is merely an action of the body consciousness releasing energy and allowing itself to reset itself when the individual has created some manifestation. Generally speaking, whatever manifestation an individual generates to incur this action of vomiting, the body consciousness is rejecting a holding of energy, and it is releasing that energy to heal and to allow itself to reset itself in somewhat of a rapid fashion.
I've explained that part to her. Would it be helpful for me to give her any more details about her bleed-through connection? Like if there's a male or female?
This was a female individual, what you would term to be a young age, approximately 17 of your years. And within the early time framework of the 19th century, the individual resided in the country of England, and created a severe illness with consumption, which the violence of the cough created considerable vomiting, and that was quite violent also.
Why did she connect with this bleed-through, if you will?
This occurs with children quite commonly, in actuality. They generate a particular experience regardless of what it is. And in their openness to other focuses, regardless that they may think of them or not, or that they may identify them or not, or even interpret the concept or not, children are more openly connected to other focuses, and in that, it is not uncommon for a small one to interpret a natural experience or any type of experience in this focus and automatically associate it with another focus and generate the memory, not in thinking, but the biological memory of similar experiences
okay.
in other focuses. It may be some idea that may be suggested to a small one that they may not actually even be experiencing themselves that can trigger one of these memories, or it can be an actual physical experience that they incorporate themselves that will trigger these types of memories. And what occurs is the memory is sparked by the body consciousness. And in that, the individual reacts, but they're not quite certain of why they are reacting.
Okay, so my daughter picked up this bleed through when she was real young, is what I'm assuming, like less than 5 years old.
Yes.
And it may have been either something she was experiencing at the time or seeing at the time.
Yes.
Was it seen? Something she was seeing, not experiencing directly herself?
Both.
So she was getting sick at that given time, and that was the association that connected the bleed-through?
Yes, and in that, whether she incorporates the action herself or whether she witnesses it, it creates an equal association and body memory.
Okay. Okay, so I can basically just walk her through this association of past focus and then just remind her that throwing up is a natural thing and not to be so focused on.
Yes.
And that should help, I would hope.
And perhaps, if she allows herself, she may connect with that other focus in dream state and incorporating the information that it is another focus, that may help also to dissipate the fear.
Oh, I'm not sure if you want to do that. Connect with someone who's dying from consumption. It'd probably be pretty scary.
Perhaps, but also it serves to distinguish between herself and another individual. And it serves to reinforce that she is not experiencing that, and therefore the fear is invalid now.
Okay. I had a dream a while back that had something about 6:30 p.m. deadline for the end of civilization. And since I know there's civilization is not going to end, it's like a 6:30 on a Friday or something like that. What was the imagery of that?
And
kind of odd. I didn't know how to place that.
And your impression?
Well, thanks for reminding me to use my impression. This would be a connection to a possible or potential marker dealing with a event that would increase movement of the shift. And the end of civilization is just more of shaking up the civilization, not ending it all.
I would agree.
Okay, so is the 6:30 on a Friday, 6:30 p.m. on a Friday, accurate?
It is approximate.
Okay. You're going to have to help me on the next one, then. Do I get a month and a year?
No. But that has not been generated yet. You are merely offering yourself signals and approximations.
So we don't know the year it's going to be?
No.
Well, I there?
Yes.
Oh, we just got interrupted there. Do we know the year that this is going to occur?
No. For it has not been selected yet. It has not been generated yet.
But it's still 6:30 on a Friday, though, right?
Approximately.
Well, great. I just got to just be on my toes around that time every Friday then, huh?
I would express that it is not necessary for you to be guarded, but merely to be paying attention.
I do that. You know that.
Yes.
I'm on my, when I say on my toes, I'm not being guarded per se. It's more like being alert to the changes. I had a dream about swallowing this kidney stone. It is associated with relaxing your energy to fly. But what was the imagery of the kidney stone? I didn't understand how that plugged in to the rest of the dream.
This would be an anchor.
This is an anchor?
Yes. For the association with the kidney stone is limiting, and therefore this swallowing of this is symbolism as an anchor that it holds you to you. You can continue to allow yourself your freedom and you can soar, but there is an element within you that holds you to you.
So it sounds like I need to go out and find a kidney stone to swallow.
No. It is symbolic.
Yeah. Okay. You know, my equations I've worked out showing the conversion of energy across either space or time boundaries, and the one that deals with the association between light and gravity. Do I have to develop a different equation for how energy is shape-shifted or changed? That would be a different equation, right?
Yes.
Okay, a little bit more on electromagnetic energy. Since everything is electromagnetic energy, that is a level above consciousness, right?
Explain.
Well, LCUs form into electromagnetic energy.
Yes.
Okay. So basically, if I was to look at a some type of unit or amount of electromagnetic energy, it's composed all of LCUs.
Yes.
Okay. Now, there's something else about electromagnetic energy that I was going to ask you, but I have lost it here. It's like, I couldn't find some of my science notes. And you're aware that we have a science meeting coming up in about a little over, 6 weeks or a couple months?
Yes.
Good. I hope you have your science hat on for that one. Elias, I wasn't sure if I was going to have a full session today, but I've kind of run out of some of my questions here, but I still have like another 10 minutes left. Let's talk about lightning for a moment, okay? Why does my dog, I know he's afraid of lightning, but what is it beyond the noise that causes some animals to be afraid?
Some creatures respond
creatures respond.
Some creatures respond to the energy surge. It is a powerful surge of energy. And that actually ripples through your air. And creatures are very sensitive to that action. It is not merely the sound or the light that they are responding to. It is the actual energy and the concentration of it and the properties of it. In this, you are aware that when lightning is being expressed, there are more concentrated properties within your air, and creatures experience that, they sense that, and they are aware of that. Therefore, there are changes in their environment that can be startling to them. Now, some creatures are startled merely by the sounds or the light if they are shielded from it. But you will notice in some creatures that they may also be startled by other loud sounds.
Correct.
Or flashes. And in those situations, they are experiencing the changes in the properties of the air when lightning is occurring, and therefore it may be emphasized more, but it is merely a matter of the individual creature and their sensitivity to those changes, and also with some their exposure to those changes.
Are sprites occurring with every lightning strike, every lightning flash, you should say?
No.
How often do sprites occur with the flash of lightning?
It is dependent upon the intensity.
Okay, and then the sprites are just a... What are sprites again? I think you and I talked about this once, but I don't recall right now what we said sprites are. Isn't it like something just like a form of creation going on, and sprites are just something associated with that?
Yes, and in more of an intensity of energy that creates these sparks of changes, which does, in a manner of speaking, enhance creation. And there are many manifestations that are receptive to that.
What's being created when a sprite shows up? I'm not talking about the sprite itself, but when in the general context of the storm, what's being, is there like a certain set of manifestations outside of lightning and thunder and whatnot being created that we're not aware of?
It is facilitating configurations of energy and changes in the components of energy that are being expressed in that time framework, and therefore facilitates different actions that occur in association with that condition, so to speak.
Okay. Cosmic rays. We haven't cracked that yet. Our cosmic rays, I can't remember, we talked about this before. I think cosmic rays are something that we'll eventually use to explore our universe, is what you said in the past.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. They will be a factor.
Okay, the only thing I got the impression of is cosmic rays are something like, I get the analogy of a hook, but I can't place why that analogy would fit with cosmic rays.
In actuality, that would be somewhat accurate, for it is associated with harnessing.
Harnessing light?
Harnessing different types of energies. And therefore, yes, it could be expressed as a type of hook.
Okay. In my lecture, like this interactive lecture I have coming up this week, I don't want to say we'll be better off or not, but I'm trying to figure out how far down the speculative path I can go with some of the people in the audience. The first lecture, I basically just dropped some very, very subtle hints that the world around them is vastly different than some may imagine, and given all these scientific examples of puzzles that we have. In this next lecture, I want to go further. The question is, would I be better off served if I start talking about, LCUs and such, or do you think that may be a little bit too much for everyone to handle at this stage of the game? I should just go a little bit more gradual.
I would express to you that it may not be too much in your terms, and that individuals generally are more open than you think and want to be challenged. But I would also express the encouragement to you to genuinely be listening to your intuition. Feel into your audience and pay attention to your intuition, which will guide you into how expansive you can allow yourself to express.
Okay, we're on our last minute of our session. Is there anything you want to throw out there for me to ponder or digest?
I would encourage you to be exploring your dream and the variations or the fluctuations in electromagnetic energies.
Well, I thought I was.
You are, but You are presenting yourself with new information.
Okay, let me ask one follow-up on this one real briefly here. So, all objects that we see in our dimension are a mixture of magnetic and electrical energy.
Yes.
And a percentage is for different objects. Like if I look at a wood table versus a rock, the percentage of input and output energy, electric versus magnetic, between those two objects is going to be different, and that's why the percentages are different?
Yes.
And that's my key?
Yes.
Oh, I gotta turn this crank a little bit more.
For some expressions or some manifestations may appear to be more outwardly expressed and may not be. And some may appear to be more inwardly expressed and may not be.
Is the basis for the difference in input and output energy for everything that we, all the objects around us, is that based on the element, you know, the chemical element they are, or is it the configuration of the object itself that's the point of difference?
The configuration.
Okay. So even though something is made of the same element, if the configuration or the object is different, its percentage of input and output energy is going to be different.
Yes.
Okay. I got it. I think I understand enough to proceed and tinker with this further. And I think that somehow it's going to be playing into some of my research in the future, I'm sure. Okay, Elias, we are out of time, and I do welcome any encouraging energy you want to zing my general direction.
And I always am.
And I appreciate that.
I shall be anticipating our next meeting, my friends. And I shall, as always, continue to express my energy to you in supportiveness and in encouragement.
Thank you, Elias.
In tremendous appreciation and lovingness to you, my friend. Au revoir.
Bye.